Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Happy Game Show Wednesday, all. We are the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network. Also on the Odyssey app, which is free in case you didn't know. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. I'm Cakes. At Money Metal Cakes is where you find me on your Twitter. At Cakes Flops is where you find me on the gram. I actually made a post on Instagram yesterday for the first time in months. I'm trying for it not to be so dormant. It had cobwebs on it, so I had to.
You didn't have poker chips.
No, I just posted something that my friend Pete from Echo Stage sent me some new lids and some new gear.
Little so. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just a thank you.
Yeah.
An electronic thank you, if you will.
Right.
Nice. At Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter, go give a follow. I'm joined by Jason Bishop this morning.
Good morning. I'll try and post something today too on IG.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. I'll be waiting.
I'll let you know.
I'll be waiting with bated breath for that. And Eric Bickle here as well.
That's right. Eric-Bickle-3. As I was driving in this morning, I've had to use my Waze the last couple of days.
Yeah, what were the roads like today?
Well, it's just, chaos, I guess, with this Netanyahu stuff. So remember how yesterday I said I was confused. I don't understand what's going on because it looked like the finish line of like a marathon.
Yeah.
I was able to ascertain what that is. It's like a staging area where the few cars that are allowed to go through, they put the bomb sniffers and they check. So that's what it is.
Okay.
So it's a big tent.
It's like a security checkpoint.
Security checkpoint.
Okay.
Is exactly what it is.
Very good.
And so that, all right, it looked like the finish of like a marathon. I didn't know
security,
what it was.
Right. Yeah.
But security's tight.
It's security checkpoint.
Yeah.
There. So
got to be careful.
I'll be glad when this is all done so we can hopefully get back to normal.
Yeah.
Because, it's crazy some of these little detours.
It always worries me. Now, I don't, encounter this often, but like say you're lucky enough to have a parking pass at a Capital One Arena, you're parking underneath the arena. The bomb sniffing dog, does a lap around your car. And even though I know I have nothing to hide,
you get a little anxious.
I get anxious when that dog is taking its lap.
Yeah. Which reminds me of a Travis said he gets anxious every time we're at the airport and they have those dogs. Because you never know.
Yeah, we're just anxious going through security. It's all like, I don't have the clear or real ID or whatever it's called. So I have to go through with all the peasants, steerage.
You don't have the TSA pre?
No, I don't have that.
The TSA pre I've had for like 10 years now.
Yeah.
It is better. There's no doubt. But the clear is the best. Clear is by far the fastest.
I don't have it.
And it's some of the smaller airports. They don't even bother with TSA pre. They just put you all through the same. And I have to say, as someone who pays for it, you get a little annoyed.
Yeah.
But it is nice. Here's what's nice about TSA pre. Beyond if it's a shorter line, you don't have to take all your shoes off, take your computer out of your bag and all that stuff.
Oh, you don't have to do that.
No, that is actually nice.
Right.
But the clear, I think, is the best. But I think clear is quite a bit more expensive than TSA pre.
I don't have the TSA pre either.
Yeah, no, TSA pre is pretty clutch.
I've pretty much got it streamlined perfectly. But when I travel, I never wear a belt. I never wear a hoodie. I never wear a hat because all that stuff's got to come off. Mm-hmm. It's just pants and a shirt.
The TSA pre, you could wear a hoodie, you could wear a hat.
All right, though, there's upside to that.
There is upside.
I can see really for you.
And you don't have to take all the big one is you don't have to take your computer out, find a separate thing for your computer,
Because I always get in panic when I'm 3 or 4 away from where the bins are.
There's a little anxiety.
There's anxiety that I'm not going to get through quick enough, or I'm going to stumble and fumble, or I'm going to forget something, God forbid, in one of the bins.
Right.
As I'm at my gate.
Right. No.
I don't like that sort of pressure.
But the security dog thing, it is wild. When I was coming back from my last trip, I don't know where the hell I was. It might have been on my way to Vegas, back to Vegas, whatever. We had to go to a separate area where the dogs were. Like you had to go to a separate area. Every person individually had to get sniffed by the dogs.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it took a while.
Yeah. And this probably doesn't happen to you. Like when I walk by one of those dogs, say it's at MGM National Harbor, I want to give it a pet, but it's a working dog.
you can't do that.
Do they say you're not supposed to pet it?
Yeah, they usually wear a vest that says working dog, don't approach or don't pet. Uh-huh. You know, you want to pet the dog.
It's never occurred to me. I just don't trust those dogs.
I mean, they might just attack you.
Well, I just know to stay away from them.
Yeah.
They're on their job. They're on their hustle.
Right.
They're not to be disturbed. Oh my gosh, you can disturb us all day long while we're working. It doesn't matter.
So would a dog sniff weed gummies?
It's a great question. I would assume yes.
Grab, what do you think? Would a dog sniff weed gummies?
I mean, there's THC in the weed gummies. I'm guessing they're trained to smell that.
Yeah. So, like, Lurch and all his buddies go to Pebble and they have to go through security for whatever reason. They couldn't bring the weed gummies. I got to imagine so many people have weed gummies.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's not my thing, but...
They are. Just looked it up. They are trained to detect THC gummies.
Wow. You got to remember that. I know you're a proponent.
I'm not bringing them back. I mean, the other guys might, but I'm not bringing them back.
You're consuming them.
I'm just going to consume them. Just one.
You're not bringing them through the airport.
No, just one.
When is your trip, Jay?
I leave next Wednesday.
Are you getting excited?
Give us your itinerary.
Oh, give us your itinerary. Pebble?
Yeah.
I'm sleeping on that. Your shoulder okay? You good?
Yeah, I mean, it's like 80%. It's not
good enough.
It's not
you
100%.
Get it.
You know what? Just take Advil start to finish. You're good.
Yeah, or gummies.
Or both. Or take both.
Come on, give us the itinerary.
Yeah. All right, so leave Wednesday night from Reagan at 5:30 p.m. Get out there. I've got to connect in Phoenix.
So it's no private this time.
No, we're not doing private.
Connecting flights hurt to your.
It was too expensive.
Your trip's already off to a bad start, in my opinion.
I know, but you got to fly into Monterey. There's not a direct coast to coast.
So hold on. Okay. Where are you first flying to?
Phoenix.
All right. Been there a million times.
Connect into Phoenix, and then go to Monterey. Get to Pebble 10 p.m. Probably.
Now, is that like a puddle jumper? The last one?
Yeah, I think it's like 45 minutes, hour maybe.
No, but is it a super small plane?
I don't know. I assume it's probably smaller
than what's bringing them to Phoenix.
You haven't looked it up? You don't know what kind of plane you're getting on?
I didn't look it up, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, that's where he's not on the hustle.
I always look at what plane.
I assume it's a 2-2.
Okay.
All right.
One of the smaller ones. So play Spyglass on Thursday morning or afternoon.
You like Spyglass?
Love Spyglass.
You do?
Yeah, it's awesome.
That one's not as very hard to get on, though, right?
I don't know how hard they are to get on. It's always packed when I'm out there.
Uh-huh.
So Spyglass Thursday, Pebble Friday, Pebble Saturday.
Spy Report.
And then Sunday I take a car service from Pebble to Napa. My wife and daughters are meeting me up out in Napa.
Ah, nice.
And we'll be out in Napa for a week.
Oh, you can do a vineyard tours, all that fun
Three
stuff.
Three vineyard tours scheduled, some other stuff. Yeah. Staying at a really nice place called the Silverado.
Uh-huh. So when you do that, like I've never, honestly, I don't think I've ever been on a wine thing. I don't care about wine that much.
Yeah,
wine is fine, but I've never been to a vineyard.
Yeah.
Not once.
I think I've been to some
out here in Virginia, but the ones in Napa are different.
So what are you supposed to do? You just
the real
go around?
Deal.
What do you do?
Wine tasting. You take a tour of the vineyard. You do wine tasting. You get some food.
You actually go out. In the vineyard, and you see the.
I assume.
Yeah, I think they take you on a tour around the property.
You on a tour.
Right. I've never done it, but I've seen it in movies enough. I know how it works. So again,
I'll probably be interested for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing three of those.
You're just gonna be sipping on wine the whole time.
Yeah, like you're just gonna sip on wine.
You're gonna catch a nice little buzz, and you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have to worry about getting up at four.
No. I got a new wine that I know. If I ever go to anything and I need to bring wine, I now know what to bring.
You have a go to?
I have a go to. Joe P hit me to some really good wine.
I got some wine recs for you. I've been reading Wine Spectator.
And yeah, I got a wine. I got a go-to now, which I've never really had.
Do you care to divulge? You keeping it
sure
secret?
It's in the like $40 to $50 range. So okay. It's not.
That's kind
cheap,
of foofy,
and it's not super expensive. That's in the prime range.
It's a tweener.
It's apparently very popular. So wine aficionados will mock me probably.
Okay,
but it's called Stag's Leap.
Yep.
Okay, and I guess it's a California cab, whatever. And it is.
I've had
awesome.
It. It's really good.
Very. Okay. It's just an awesome wine. Like, and I don't like wine, so this one I liked. It's just smooth, silly. It's my new go-to.
Yeah.
Stag's Leap.
I saw a few people drinking wine at the Commander's get together a couple nights ago.
But apparently the vineyards out there in Napa, the nicest vineyards, the most luxurious, the biggest, you know, spacious vineyards with great hotels are the cheaper wines, because those are the ones that sell the most, like Behringer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Behringer is a cheaper wine. Kendall Jackson, a cheaper wine.
Yeah.
But those are the nicest vineyards out there because they sell the most.
Mm. Got it.
So some of the smaller ones they're really nice, but you know, they're more expensive wines.
Sure. They're pricier,
yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know who makes Stag's
Leap. So you're doing a three wine, the vineyards, whatever you call it, and then what are you doing?
I don't know. My wife's got a bunch of stuff planned.
So she's
my daughters
want to
go horseback riding.
Oh,
they want to go see these little towns out in Northern California. I don't know. She's got the whole thing scheduled.
It sounds like hell.
You know what else it sounds like?
Yeah.
It sounds a little pricey.
Well, it won't be cheap.
Yeah.
But luckily, I'm getting a nice break on the Pebble trip.
Ah, okay, good. That's perfect. You got to work the angles whenever you can.
Thank you, Carl.
That's fantastic.
Oh, is Carl taking care of everybody's green fees?
Carl is, he's very generous.
Yeah. Yeah, good for you, man.
Yeah, but that's next Wednesday, man.
That's coming.
Hey, Eric, going back to weed at the airport, a guy called in. He says he takes weed all the time. He says, don't ever sweat it. Don't even think about it, because all the dogs you see trained for explosives. They're not trained for drugs. The people there don't care about the drugs that you're bringing, the weed that you're bringing. They're just looking for explosives.
Oh, so they're just
and more than likely,
sniffing. Okay.
I mean, so many people have it, they don't even care. It's not like they're arresting people at the airport.
I would think. I mean, so many people are into weed gummies. I mean it's crazy.
Into Virginia, it's decriminalized.
Yeah.
I understand it's probably a federal issue.
In Maryland, it's legal.
They probably just say throw it out.
Yeah.
Or, if they have a problem with it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get through with your weed gummies, but God forbid you bring a bottle of like a Coke Zero through TSA.
Right, you're confiscate it.
It definitely can make you throw that out.
Mm-hmm.
But you just guzzle it right in front of it and throw it in the trash can.
Yeah, so silly.
You think I'm going to throw away a $4 soda that I bought in the airport? No chance.
Not going to
You
got
to learn. You got to buy it after you go through.
I know. I've learned at this point. I'm talking about prior follies at the airport, EB.
Yeah.
I'm a seasoned veteran traveler at this point.
Yeah.
what happened with that? Did somebody make liquid explosives or something one time?
Yes, there was a plot probably a dozen years ago to sneak like explosives into with those little like trial size like shampoos and then mix them up on the airplane and then blow the airplane out of the sky mid-flight. Foiled, though.
Yeah, caught
them. Foiled, which is good. Always want to foil the plots.
Terrifying. Drab.
Mr. Drab, the Olympics officially start in, I don't know, what, 3 hours?
Yeah, what's the first game?
First game is Argentina-Morocco soccer, men's soccer. Actually, there's two at the same time. Uzbekistan plays Spain as well.
Well, obviously, Messi's not playing because he got injured, but was he not going to play anyway?
Well, remember, the Olympics is like mostly 23 and under.
I think it's 23 and under.
I think you can have one or two guys that are over 23.
Okay, yeah.
So it's mostly dogs.
Makes sense.
Up and covers.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
they should
7.
Do that with hoops.
Then I would get into
it. Oh, you know what? USA plays France today.
Soccer?
3 o'clock.
Ooh,
in soccer?
The host country.
In soccer.
I don't know any of our 23. How old is Pulisic now? He's probably like 25, 26, right? He's not under 23.
He's got to be over 23 at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's here.
It is here, and we're scheduled.
Hey, you know what? You can bet on it.
Mm. You can bet on the events, which is always an attraction. We're scheduled to have our friend Pete Haley. He's going to be our Paris Olympics correspondent. He should be checking in potentially live from France, 7 a.m. this morning. Because he's over there with NBC for the coverage.
That would be awesome to talk to him.
Working with Mike Tirico.
Hey, by the way, I got a $5 Venmo. Mike Corcoran says, yes. What can we do to cheer up Valdez? Can we post his Venmo? Have a segment on boobies? Talk about his bench press? What can we do, Valdez?
Is Valdez down in the dumps?
Send him
some
money.
What's going on here?
I don't know. I just got this in.
Oh. I didn't know I was sad.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm sad that EB's getting $5 a pop.
Just for
just
questions.
Just ask random questions on the air.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Commanders coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So yesterday, after we went off the air, a little bit after 10:30, we aired the live press conference of Dan Quinn and Adam Peters out at Ashburn as the players, all the vets reported for training camp. And we'll get into the specific audio in just a bit. But, I mean, we saw some of it at the media event the night before, Jason. Like, these guys are clearly into each other. Like, they have a good synergy working relationship. Like,
correct.
Like they're bros.
They
There's
are.
A lot of, you know, dropping DQ and AP.
Right. Yep. That's what they call each other.
I mean, it's just a lot of that back and forth. Like, you can tell, like, it's not like a weird standoffish, you know, head coach and GM
relationship. Well, they're similar generation, right? So it's not like like a deal where you had like a Charlie Casserly and a younger Norv Turner.
Yeah,
you
I know. Mean, I don't know how old Peters is. Is he like
Peters,
late mid-40s, mid to late 40s?
Okay. Yeah, Quinn's probably about our age.
Yeah, he's so about 9 years,
about
10
nine
years
or
younger
10
than
years.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're similar.
Yeah.
I think Peters might be 44.
Okay.
But it's not like 70 and 40.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But
no,
they
no,
are,
no.
You can tell, they're boys.
Yeah.
Like, it's evident. Like, they're
on the same page.
The relationship there is...
Well,
that's good. That's a good thing.
That's
right.
That's
a good thing, but it'll be interesting to see how, you know, when they go through the ups and downs together, how that works.
I'm sure there'll be friction at times.
You know who's been spectacular with that, I think? And I get a similar vibe. It's a little different because he is older, but Rizzo and Davey.
Right.
Yeah. Rizzo and Davey seem to be on the same page.
Yeah.
They really respect each other.
Yeah,
and even in the hard times, Rizzo has been there for him, backing him up.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see because this ain't gonna go perfect.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
There's
gonna be trials
bumps.
And tribulations.
Yeah. There's gonna be bumps in the road.
Even
no
if
doubt.
We ever get to where we're trying to get, you know, which is like win 11, 12 games every year and compete for championships.
Right.
There's gonna be trials and tribulations.
Well, and then of course you hope that the most bumps in the road are this year, not next year, or the year after.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it's just nothing. You know, look, the Giants thought they had their man and their quarterback, their head coach, and look what happened just a year later. Like things don't just always perfectly traject. You know,
it's not always rosy.
No.
Yeah.
And it's unpredictable. But yeah, that's cool. And were they in a good when they are good? I was on the phone with my mother when this was going on. Were they in good spirits?
Oh, they were.
Oh yeah, they're jacked.
They were in a good. You could tell they were in a good mood.
Yeah,
they were ready to talk.
It looks like they were. You talking about the media day when we went?
No, I'm talking about when they had the presser yesterday.
I was going to say that the media event, they just looked like they were ready for the season to start.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that it's a 12-month season because you got free agency and
but they're ready for some real bullets.
But they're ready. Yeah. I mean, the season officially starts when the entire roster is there for camp.
Right.
And they're
and the first practice will be held today. All right, so let's get into the first clip we have here. This is Coach Dan Quinn talking about naming Jaden Daniels the starter for the season.
It's not a secret, but it is a journey and a process. And so as we're going, when he's ready, we'll know. And when he's ready, he'll also know. But as far as the reps go, obviously with him and Marcus and moving around. There'll be certain days that will feature more of another, but I guess I did want, I'm glad that you brought it up, and certainly not a secret, it's a journey and a process. And so through practices, through scrimmages and preseason games all the way down, that's where the journey will take us. And then I'm not trying to hold back the info, but when we know, we'll say it.
So that's just, I mean, that's just him talking in code, journey, process. Like, we all know that he's going to be named the starter. It's just a matter of,
right, but he doesn't need
to formality.
It is, but he doesn't need to name the starter now.
No, no, of course not.
Because he's given himself a little wiggle room in case there is a little bit of a struggle.
Right.
And that, which is very possible. I mean, I think it's unlikely, but it's possible that the kid maybe has a mental block or
right. goes just not ready.
Or gets hurt. I mean, who knows? Anything could happen.
Anything, right.
So I have no problem with that issue. We're all on the same page, though. Mm-hmm. Barring something unforeseen and unusual, Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy.
Yes.
So here's Dan Quinn. This is the second clip. He's explaining why it's important not to name Daniels the starter.
At every position, this is the case. And we've got great confidence, all of that. But like I said earlier, it's not one size that fits all. So as we're going through this whole process, let's make sure if we are going to be about the competition and how things are going to go, we're not going to miss one step of their development. And that's what this time of year is for. So we want to make sure we're able to use all of that time.
I have to tell you, and, you know, Ron came here, and I want to do a whole segment on Ron later, because Ron's just popping up again in the news, and it just every time I see him now, I just, like, get infuriated. Nice guy, but he just infuriates me. I do love, as a Skins fan, I do love having a guy who's been experienced before. Like he's been through this. He knows the questions, and not that they're tricks. Questions, but he knows what he wants to say and not say. Versus if you had a guy like Ben Johnson, who may be a boy genius, but you know, when it's his first go around, you know, might say something. Hell, I think Jay went through that learning curve. I think Jay, when he first came here, often kind of said things he probably shouldn't have said.
Right. That's Jay's personality,
That's
though.
His
he
personality,
just kind of speaks his mind.
Anyway. But he did tighten it up towards the end.
And it was more fun when he would like kind of shoot from the hip.
Oh, he was so fun.
It was the best.
He was the greatest.
Yeah.
Now, Ben Johnson's nothing like Jay Gruden.
No. Gruden actually has a real personality.
Right.
Ben Johnson, I don't know if that's been detected yet. Now, can he draw up a great offense?
Maybe.
Obviously. We've seen that in Detroit. Look at the numbers. But is he the guy that you want at the podium talking about – you know, how the team's broken down and how would he perform there? I don't know. I think the jury's still out there.
Listen, maybe I'm just trying to pump myself up, but I just like Quinn. He's been there. He's done it.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable.
You have a confidence in him.
I have a quiet confidence.
Yeah.
That he's been through. This ain't his first rodeo.
No, it's not.
So he's navigating all of these kind of tricky-ish questions, no problem.
I mean, he's been in the NFL coaching for 22 years.
Right. Yeah, been a head guy.
Been a head guy.
Taking a team to a Super Bowl.
Correct. So he knows how to handle the media.
You'd say that about Ron.
I know. True. And I preface that.
Not everybody's great at it.
I'm not saying that it's indicative of anything. I just have a couple. And when Ron first came, I liked Ron too, in fairness. But Ron just at the end of the day was just...
He hit a wall.
It's just so annoying.
Quinn just seems like just
pandering to the public.
Inspires more confidence.
Now, to defend Ron, he was dealing with a lot of stuff off the field.
I know. He was dealing with a lot of stuff. But I just didn't like his personality. His personality is to pander.
I get it.
I don't think Dan Quinn is going to pander to us. I really don't think so. I think he'll be nice, but I don't think he's going to pander to us.
Now, the one spot in the presser where there was a little bit of a pause was before this next question that you're going to hear was answered. I'm 99% sure you guys behind the glass can correct me on this if I'm wrong. I think it was J.P. Finley that asked the question about Jaden Daniels or Brandon Ayuk posting pictures of Commanders practice on, you know, his TikTok or his Snapchat, whatever. Mm. So here's Adam Peters talking about Brandon Ayuk posting the practice pictures.
You guys actually had another player post practice footage. What was the reaction in the building? How do you handle that?
I think first and foremost, he didn't have practice footage, so
still maybe.
Yeah, still, yeah. So, but we handled that internally, and we're unconcerned with that. Yeah,
they shot that down with the quickness. Yeah. They were just like, "It's been taken care of. It's all good. Not worried about it.
When they said we handled that in-house or whatever, I mean, they probably grilled him.
I'm sure they did. Yeah. I'm sure
they were, I guarantee they weren't nice about it.
Probably had to, might have been some raised voices.
Yeah. I think when they say they're unconcerned today. They were concerned at the moment.
Sure.
Yeah.
And right. They made sure.
But no, they took care of it. They put out that fire.
And they were like, yeah, there was some footage. Still. And still photo.
And it kind of goes back to, I know Drab and I are on the same page on this one. I'm not necessarily sure I want Jaden's BFF forever or whatever on this team. Let's let him lock in, do his, I don't know.
Well, I mean, who knows what happens down the road, but I don't think he's going to be traded for before this season starts. Like, that ship has sailed.
I don't think it was ever a thing, realistically, ever. I'm just saying, set that aside. I don't even know if I want the rookie who this entire, I need this rookie locked in. I need him to be like, he and Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I need Cliff Kingsbury to be his BFF, not sure. Brandon Ayuk. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's not a talent.
After his rookie season, though, when Ayuk's a free agent.
Maybe that's a different story.
I wouldn't have a problem with Adam Peters calling his agent and having a little sit down.
That's maybe, if that maybe. Works. But I just need my rookie to be like he and Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
24 hours a day. They need to go.
They should have like bunk beds hanging out with each other.
They need to go to One Loudon, have lunch together.
Yeah, go to Top Golf.
They need to go to Top Golf
do
together.
Do that bit again.
Yes. Yeah. They need to go camping together.
Camping.
They need to go to the ropes course that John Keim always promotes.
Okay.
Out in Olney. They need to just be BFFs.
Okay.
Not Brandon Ayuk.
Right.
God bless him. His BFF needs to be Cliff Kingsbury.
Right. Or Terry McLaurin. Or Jahan Dotson.
Yes, right. Terry McLaurin. Let's pay some attention to the superstar here, the one who literally everybody in town wants to marry their daughter.
T-Mac.
Yes. Yeah.
But I just love the answer again. Can you run that back real quick, Valdez, that last question from Finley about Ayuk? I love the response.
JP's asking this because he knows
you guys
background.
Actually had another player post-practice footage. What was the reaction in the building? How do you handle that?
I think first and foremost, he didn't have practice footage, so
still maybe.
Yeah, still, yeah. So, but we handled that internally, and weren't unconcerned with that. Yeah.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
That
talk
was
about,
a direct answer.
He didn't right talk now about the reaction. He talked about it's been handled.
Yeah.
The reaction may have been, "What the f are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why are you sharing stills with Brandon Ayuk?"
Yeah.
Right. The Brandon
but then he corrected. He wanted to make sure everyone knew it wasn't footage.
Correct.
It was a picture.
I'm just a diehard fan.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of the Brandon Ayuk stuff.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what Peters and DQ are thinking about reading all about the Ayuk stuff when they know, I'm assuming, they're not trading any assets for anybody right now.
Right.
They're in the building phase.
Mm-hmm.
They need this kid locked in. What is he doing? Get, you know. I'm telling you, my gut, and I don't have intel on it, is that it was making him crazy.
Could have been.
Oh, I'm sure.
Making him crazy.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
I think the Quinn Peters bromance is close to the Jaden Daniels Ayuk bromance.
Is that right?
I mean, just hearing those guys stick it up and calling each other their nicknames 50 times during the presser.
Yeah.
Like they're buddies.
Of course.
Right. They're fast friends at this point.
Yeah, and they should be.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna be.
I mean, this is they're gonna be working.
Day.
They're gonna be together every single day, pretty
right
much every single day until February,
right?
For long days.
So they better get along.
And these are the long ones right here, starting today.
Sure.
I think the vets got there at 1 o'clock yesterday. I don't know what time practice starts today.
Ooh, we're gonna start seeing training camp footage, like crazy sideline catches.
Why don't you
that
do
we're
something?
Go too crazy
why
for?
Don't you do something you've never really done in 30 years?
Go.
Why don't you go once or twice and be a correspondent for the Junks? You live a minute from them. Why don't you just do that?
Because it takes effort.
I'm asking you to put a effort. You got both your kids.
Possibly
are,
Friday?
Yeah.
I could do that.
Why don't you do that? Just take some notes. Go over there glad hand.
I don't want to take notes. I just want to go over and walk.
Mental notes.
I don't know. We'll see. I'll see if Drabby can hook it up.
Just film practice. That might be off limits,
when do they let? Do we know when they let media in, Drabby?
I'm sure we do. I just don't know off the top of my head.
But do they? There's probably a certain portion where they let the media watch
for 20 minutes or something at the end or whatever.
Yeah. I do find it interesting. Nikki tweeted last night that they're staying at the Lansdowne Resort.
I did see that. Swanky.
She said this isn't the old regime.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell you, maybe a little camaraderie, build a little chemistry with the guys. I think.
How did it work in years prior? Like under Ron, did the guys just stay at a hotel close to Commander's
Park? I don't know.
Park?
They might have been able to stay at home.
Could have stayed at home too.
I think I think the younger guys stayed at a hotel, and maybe the vets stayed at home.
Okay,
possibly. I don't know.
Right, I could see that.
If they had a house already.
How many NFL teams are still doing that Nubs getaway, stay at like a Latrobe, Pennsylvania type thing?
I don't think that many. I think a lot of them do it right around their regular training.
Everybody
facilities.
Has these high end facilities that want to use them.
I saw the Raiders are in Southern California.
Are they going to Oxnard, or is that?
No, that's the Cowboys. The Cowboys are grandfathered in for this because when the Cowboys first went there, there were no Rams and there were no Chargers in L.A., right?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
But now the Raiders are doing training camp in Southern California, but they're not allowed to promote it. They're not even allowed to say that they're in California.
Really?
Because they're infringing on the other team's territories.
Ah.
Are they going there because of the heat?
I guess. Better than being outside.
They would die.
Didn't the Saints do a wacky bit for a few years? Weren't they at the Greenbrier in West Virginia? Are they still there?
No, the Saints might be in California too.
The Saints are in California?
That's what I thought I read. I might be wrong, but
I mean, I think you're right. I think I saw that too.
Let's see.
Could they use Allegiant Field as a practice?
Well, I think you need more than one field.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they've got three fields. But they're doing construction over there too. They're doing all kinds of stuff at Ashburn. But they've do they have three fields or four fields?
Well, they tore up one field, right? Did they? And I think they were replacing the turf.
I did see videos. They're replacing the turf, like a lot of the media were shooting videos of all of the spots that weren't being used, like where that old practice field was.
Yeah.
Looks like there's limited space out there for training camp. I'm sure they're going to get as many fans in there as they can.
Yeah, New Orleans.
They can't do as many as they have in the past.
New Orleans is at Cal Irvine.
Okay. So California's a popular spot for training camps.
Well, you've got good weather. And looks like there's a bunch of them in California.
Yeah.
Not a bunch, a handful.
All right, when we come back, we will get into the Junk Sports page. We'll tell you how the Nats did last night and more. We'll do that next. And we're hoping to hear from our pal Pete Haley, who is in Paris for the Olympics. Hopefully he'll join us coming up at 7 a.m. So don't go anywhere. Sports page is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need a quick burst of energy? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot like Jason has this morning for steady energy and long-lasting focus. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Find both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great. That's what it does.
I think am I wearing Don't Sleep today? I'm wearing Maryland.
Yeah, you're wearing a Terps hat.
I changed my hat. Gonna wear it.
It's all good.
All right, boys. Baseball last night. The Nats started their 3-game series against the Padres. Dropped it 4-0 in the opener.
Didn't get many hits going.
DJ, I think only 5 hits. DJ Hurst pitched well, but no support. And they lose 4-0. So they're 5.5 back in a wild card. I think Mitch Crawford goes tonight against Matt Waldron of the Padres. Orioles have lost 7 of 10. They dropped one in Miami last night. Still have a 1.5-game lead over the Yankees because the Yankees lost to the Mets 3-2. Some interesting nuggets from a bunch of games last night. But Paul Skeens got his first loss for the Pirates. Pitched well, but lost 2-1.
He's an absolute monster.
He's a beast.
Every bit as good as advertised. Maybe better.
Yeah, probably better.
Maybe better.
Yeah.
To me, the most dominant pitcher to come in since Strauss, in my mind, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
No, that's who he's being compared to.
I mean, just look at this line at a loss. He goes 8 1/3, only allows 4 hits, 2 earned, 8 punch outs.
Mm-hmm.
No walks.
Yeah.
Yep.
His ERA is under 2.
He's an absolute monster.
Like, that's ridiculous.
You can only hope that he can avoid the injury issues that Strauss had. Maybe he can be, and this is no shot against Strauss because I do think he had a good career, but didn't have that elite career because of injuries, maybe he can be what Strauss was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That would be the hope. I'm actually kind of
rooting just based
for him.
On how guys throw now and their mechanics, you just kind of assume it's coming.
Right. I do, but yeah. I hope that it's just a one.
But maybe
and
he's
done.
Just a freak of nature.
Remember,
and won't get hurt.
He had just not only just the Tommy John issues, but Strauss always had little things.
Yeah,
little
he had a bunch
things.
Of stuff.
Always.
Can he get some run support? I mean, he was so efficient yesterday. I was watching the whole thing again. They send him out there for the night. Pirates finally got a run in the bottom of the eighth. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, wow, it's 1-1 now. Let's send Paul out there for the ninth because he's throwing like six pitches an inning, basically.
Yeah.
And see if we can steal the victory in the bottom of the ninth and get him the win. But he gave up two hits. He gave up a double and a single or something like that. And then
somebody pointed out that I think it was his 91st pitch. It was 101 miles an hour.
Yeah,
he's just sick.
Think about that.
No, he's a full blown monster. Is what
he is. That's like it's like pumping your biggest drive on the 18th hole. Right. It's just crazy.
Now in the AL West, right now it's a battle between Seattle, Grab's favorite team, and Houston. Both teams lost last night. Seattle, since June 19th, has won 9 games. They just absolutely can't hit. And they had to send two of their best players. Their best player, Julio Rodriguez, goes on the IL. J.P. Crawford, their shortstop, goes on the IL. So they lose two bats, even though they can't hit. They lose two of their bats. But they lost last night to the Angels 5-1. Speaking of the Angels, Mike Trout, who's been out forever and is always hurt, had a rehab game last night and had to leave after 2 innings because his knee hurt again. So he's probably done for the year. So Seattle needs to make a play or a couple plays for some bats at the deadline, which is next Wednesday.
Call up Mike Rizzo. I think he's in deal guys away mode. Clearly already made one deal. Prior to the deadline,
Dodgers beat the Giants last night 5-2. But the story here for the Giants is their rookie shortstop Tyler Fitzgerald hit a home run for the 5th consecutive game.
Wow!
The only other Giants ever do that is Barry Bonds. Correct.
That's a pretty easy one.
Yep. Charlie Woods switch over to golf.
We set the over under at 77.
70, yeah, I threw down 76.5 and see if you would go over or under that. You said you'd go under. He goes over, Cakes. He shot it on an 80 and he missed
bad.
The cut.
Yep. I feel bad for him because I was reading. And listen, there's no shame in shooting 80. No shame in shooting 82 on these courses. At one hole, I think they said it took him 3 approaches to hold the green. Mm. It was one of those like kind of like Pinehurst deals where he had 2 pitches and they both rolled back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So annoying.
It has to be depressing when that happens.
So annoying. Charlie Woods is a good golfer, but there's a lot of good golfers.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of great golfers.
There's some awesome golfers in this.
And it's not to say he's not going to continue to grow and get better. I'm sure he will. I hope he handles it. I feel bad for him. The pressure is enormous. He's got the largest galleries out there, especially when his dad is out there. His dad's out there, and they have police escorts.
Yeah.
There are people, mm-hmm. they're saying, that are going out there, and they're not asking Tiger, because Tiger's freaking unapproachable. He really is. They're just going around, they're doing the bit where they're taking a selfie with him in the background constantly.
Okay. That's weird.
I've had people do that when I'm around, mm-hmm. and it's a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It must be so annoying to him.
And he had, he's 15. He's a rising sophomore in high school. So, he's just so young.
He's so young. He's going to get way better. To what extent, who knows?
Yeah. Valdez, what's the age requirement or restriction in the junior AMs? I think you can't be 19 by the final round. Is that true?
It's something like that.
Yeah. So he's got to be one of the youngest guys in the field.
Again, to his credit, he shot 71, 1 under, whatever course that was, to qualify. The kid's got game. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
But the qualifying course could be.
Sure, could be easier.
It could be easier.
A lot easier than the course.
Oh, definitely.
No doubt.
Definitely.
No doubt. But he did it. It was good enough to qualify.
He qualified.
I don't think Charlie Woods is ass. It's a lot of pressure.
Does anybody know anything about Eagle Trace Golf Club in Coral Springs? Because that's where he qualified.
No.
I don't know. Don't know anything about it. Whether it's difficult or
I know it's not
course.
As easy
I'm sure
as
it's not Bethpage Black.
It's not. Yeah, it's not as hard as Oakland Hills.
Right.
Yeah. Looks like its slope is 143.
That's pretty big. It's pretty big slope.
All right, so
in other words, that's a pretty difficult course.
Mm-hmm. NFL stories: Michael Gallup, who signed a one-year deal for $3 million with the Raiders on April 30th, he was competing for their number three wideout spot. Decided, you know what, I'm done, and retired yesterday.
I thought that was a little surprising.
Raiders' first training camp.
His age and productivity.
28 years old. He was in OTAs. He was in minicamp. 6-year vet. Caught 266 balls.
How much money did he make in his career, Cakes?
Michael Gallup. I got to look it up. He signed one decent deal after his rookie deal. I'm going to say he...
10 or 12 million?
Oh, I think he made more than that. I'm going to say he grossed 38 to 40 million in his NFL
29
career.
And just salary.
Okay.
So you're close. 29 milli. So he's probably got at least 10 to 15 in the bank.
So he was, let's hope.
Never quite fulfilled his promise, I would say, Michael Gallup. Like, I think bigger things were expected from him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his high for catches was 66 back in 2019, but he never could quite come back from, it was a torn ACL,
he had an injury, yeah.
He just never was the same after that.
So right now, the Raiders, you're looking at, obviously, Devontae, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker. Jalen Guyton, they had to put him on the pup. He got hurt.
It was more catches for Dylan Lauby, your guy, EB.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Out of the backfield.
You know that he's going to be a contributor,
sure.
Right? You know that all the reports are.
That's great. Because, you know, their lead back, Zamir White, not a big pass catching guy.
Yeah, no.
So there's,
he's going to be versatile.
Will be a role for him.
He's going to be versatile. Listen, I'm not saying he's going to be a star right away, but he's going to do a lot of things for
them. Get some playing time.
He's going to return kicks.
Yep.
Maybe he'll return punts.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to catch the balls. He's going to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
All right, last but not least, Cowboys start speaking of receivers. Cowboys superstar CeeDee Lamb, who's been unable to land a big contract extension that some of the other receivers have done already, not expected to report to training camp today with his team.
And I believe
Adam Schefter reported yesterday.
Now, under the new bargaining, like if you're a holdout from training camp, it's $50K a day. And they don't wipe it away. Like sometimes
they're not
allowed to wipe it out.
Mm.
So I'm sure they're going to come to some sort of agreement. Like they're not going to start the season without CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, if they have any
sort of playoff aspirations.
Justin Jefferson, and he's worth this. Justin Jefferson signed a 4-year deal, $140 million, but $110 guaranteed. So let's call it $110. That's what CeeDee Lamb deserves.
Yeah, that's your template. That's your starting point for CeeDee Lamb to get a deal done.
So they would.
When we come back, we will be joined by our pal Pete Haley. He'll be our Paris Olympics correspondent. He's live in France, and he'll join us here on The Fan next. Anywhere. Sports Page is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need a quick burst of energy? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot like Jason has this morning for steady energy and long-lasting focus. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. Find both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great. That's what it does.
Am I wearing Don't Sleep today? I think I am. Oh, no, I'm wearing Maryland.
Yeah, you're wearing Terps hat.
I changed my hat.
It's all good.
I was going to wear it.
It's all good.
All right, boys. Baseball last night. The Nats started their 3-game series against the Padres. Dropped it 4-0 in the opener.
Didn't get many hits going.
DJ, I think only 5 hits. DJ Hurst pitched well, but no support. And they lose 4-0. So they're 5.5 back in the wild card. I think Mitch Crawford goes tonight against Matt Waldron of the Padres. Orioles have lost 7 of 10. They dropped one in Miami last night. Still have a game and a half lead over the Yankees because the Yankees lost to the Mets 3-2. Some interesting nuggets from a bunch of games last night. But Paul Skeens got his first loss for the Pirates. Pitched well, but lost 2-1.
He's an absolute monster.
He's a beast.
Every bit as good as advertised. Maybe better.
Yeah, probably better.
Maybe better.
Yeah.
To me, the most dominant pitcher to come in since Strauss, in my mind, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
No, that's who he's being compared to.
I mean, just look at this line at a loss. He goes 8 1/3, only allows 4 hits, 2 earned, 8 punch outs.
Mm-hmm.
No walks.
Yeah.
Yep.
His ERA is under 2.
He's an absolute monster.
Like, that's ridiculous.
You can only hope that he can avoid the injury issues that Strauss had. Maybe he can be, and this is no shot against Strauss because I do think he had a good career, but didn't have that elite career because of injuries. Maybe he can be what Strauss was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That would be the hope. I'm actually kind of
rooting for him. But just based on how guys throw now and their mechanics, you just kind of assume it's coming.
I do. But yeah. I hope that it's just a one.
But maybe he's just a freak of nature.
Remember,
and won't get hurt.
He had just not only just the Tommy John issues, but Strauss always had little things.
Yeah,
he had a bunch of stuff. Always.
Can he get some run support? I mean, he was so efficient yesterday. I was watching the whole thing again. They send him out there for the night. Pirates finally got a run in the bottom of the eighth. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh, wow, it's 1-1 now. Let's send Paul out there for the ninth because he's throwing like six pitches an inning, basically.
Yeah.
And see if we can steal the victory in the bottom of the ninth and get him the win. But he gave up two hits. He gave up a double and a single or something like that. And then
somebody pointed out that in 91st, I think it was his 91st pitch. It was 101 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's just sick.
Think about that.
No, he's a full blown monster. Is what he
That's
is.
That's like it's like pumping your biggest drive on the 18th hole.
Right.
Life. You know, I mean, it's just crazy.
Now in the AL West, right now it's a battle between Seattle, Grab's favorite team, and Houston. Both teams lost last night. Seattle, since June 19th, has won 9 games. They just absolutely can't hit. And they had to send two of their best players. So their best player, Julio Rodriguez, goes on the IL. J.P. Crawford, their shortstop, goes on the IL. So they lose two bats, even though they can't hit. They lose two of their bats. But they lost last night to the Angels 5-1. Speaking of the Angels, Mike Trout, who's been out forever and is always hurt, had a rehab game last night and had to leave after 2 innings because his knee hurt again. So he's probably done for the year. So Seattle needs to make a play or a couple plays for some bats at the deadline, which is next Wednesday.
Call up Mike Rizzo. I think he's in deal guys away mode. Clearly already made one deal prior to the deadline.
Dodgers beat the Giants last night 5-2. But the story here for the Giants is their rookie shortstop, Tyler Fitzgerald, hit a home run for the 5th consecutive game.
Wow.
The only other Giants ever do that is Barry Bonds. Correct.
That's a pretty easy one.
Yep. Charlie Woods, switch over to golf.
We set the over-under at 77.
70, I threw down 76.5 and see if you would go over or under that. You said you'd go under. He goes over, Cakes. He shot it on an 80, and he missed
bad.
The cut.
Yep. I feel bad for him because I was reading. And listen, there's no shame in shooting 80. No shame in shooting 82 on these courses. At one hole, I think they said it took him 3 approaches to hold the green. Mm. It was one of those like kind of like Pinehurst deals where he had 2 pitches and they both rolled back to him.
Mm-hmm.
So annoying.
It has to be depressing when that happens.
So annoying. Charlie Woods is a good golfer, but there's a lot of good golfers.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of great golfers.
I mean, there's some awesome golfers in this.
And it's not to say that he's not going to continue to grow and get better. I'm sure he will. I hope he handles it. I feel bad for him. The pressure is enormous. He's got the largest galleries out there, especially when his dad is out there. His dad's out there, and they have police escorts.
Yeah.
There are people, they're saying, that are going out there, and they're not asking Tiger, because Tiger's freaking unapproachable. He really is. They're just going around, they're doing the bit where they're taking a selfie with him in the background constantly.
Okay. That's weird.
I've had people do that when I'm around, and it's a weird feeling. It's weird. It must be so annoying to him.
And he had, I mean, he's 15. He's a rising sophomore in high school. So, I mean, he's just so young.
He's so young. He's going to get way better. To what extent, who knows?
Yeah. Valdez, what's the age requirement or restriction in the junior AMs? I think you can't be 19 by the final round. Is that true?
It's something like that.
Yeah. So he's got to be one of the youngest guys in the field.
Again, to his credit, he shot 71, 1-under, whatever course that was, to qualify. I mean, the kid's got game. No doubt about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the qualifying course could be.
Sure, could be easier.
It could be easier.
A lot easier than the course.
Oh, definitely.
No doubt.
Definitely.
No doubt. But he did it. It was good enough to qualify.
He qualified.
I don't think Charlie Woods is ass. It's a lot of pressure.
Does anybody know anything about Eagle Trace Golf Club in Coral Springs? Because that's where he qualified.
No.
No.
I don't know. Don't know anything about it. whether it's difficult or
I know it's not as easy as
Bethpage Black.
It's not as hard as Oakland Hills.
Right.
Yeah. Looks like its slope is 143.
That's pretty big. It's a pretty big slope.
All right. So,
in other words, that's a pretty difficult course. Mm-hmm.
NFL stories: Michael Gallup, who signed a one-year deal for $3 million with the Raiders on April 30th, he was competing for their number three wideout spot. Decided, you know what, I'm done, and retired yesterday.
I thought that was a little surprising.
Raiders' first training camp.
His age and productivity.
28 right. years old. He was in OTAs. He was in minicamp. 6-year vet. Caught 266 balls for
almost. How much money
almost...
did he make in his career, Cakes?
Michael Gallup. I got to look it up. He signed one decent deal after his rookie deal. I'm going to say he...
10 or 12 million?
Oh, I think he made more than that. I'm going to say Gallup 15? Grossed... I'm going to say he grossed 38 to 40 million in his NFL
29
career.
And just salary.
Okay.
So you're close. 29 milli. So he's probably got at least 10 to 15 in the bank.
So he was, let's hope.
Never quite fulfilled his promise, I would say, Michael Gallup. Like, I think bigger things were expected from him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his high for catches was 66 back in 2019, but he never could quite come back from. It was a torn ACL.
He had an injury. Yeah,
he just never was the same after that.
So right now the Raiders, you're looking at obviously Devontae, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, Jalen Guyton. They had to put him on the pup. He got hurt.
It was more catches for Dylan Lauby, your guy, EB.
Dude, I'm telling you,
out of the backfield.
You know that he's going to be a contributor.
Sure.
Right? You know that all the reports are.
That's great. Because you know their lead back, Zamir White, not a big pass catching guy.
Yeah, no.
So there's
he's going to
be
versatile
a role for him.
He's going to be versatile. Listen, I'm not saying he's going to be a star right away, but he's going to do a lot of things.
Get some playing time.
He's going to return kicks.
Yep.
Maybe he'll return punts.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to catch the balls. He's going to do a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, Cowboys start speaking of receivers. Cowboys superstar CeeDee Lamb, who's been unable to land a big contract extension. That some of the other receivers have done already, not expected to report to training camp today with his team.
And I believe
Adam Schefter reported yesterday.
Now, under the new bargaining, like if you're a holdout from training camp, it's $50K a day. And they don't wipe it away. Like sometimes
they're not allowed to wipe it out.
Mm. So I'm sure they're going to come to some sort of agreement. Like they're not going to start the season without CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, if they have any
sort of playoff aspirations.
Justin Jefferson, and he's worth this, Justin Jefferson signed a 4-year deal, $140 million, but $110 guaranteed. So let's call it $110. That's what CeeDee Lamb deserves.
Yeah, that's your template. That's your starting point for CeeDee Lamb to get a deal done.
So they will.
When we come back, we will be joined by our pal Pete Haley. He'll be our Paris Olympics correspondent. He's live in France, and he'll join us. Here on The Fan next.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.